Hey, hey, and welcome to Insurance Town. I'm the Mayor Heath Sheeran and the host of this here podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I am super pumped you're here with Andy Matheson in the show today. Can't wait for you to hear it. It is amazing. We have a lot of fun and just catching up and just providing a ton of value from his perspective. And he's been successful in the agency world, been successful in the tech world with Glovebox. He's done it all, and now he's in a new venture, and I can't wait for you to hear about it. Before I do, though, Smart Choice is a network of over 10,000 independent agents, and they are my sponsor for this show. 120 carriers, their agency partners represent more than $11 billion in written premiums. They're the fastest-growing agency network in the nation for a reason. Their agency-friendly contract puts agency partners first. Grow your book of business, increase your revenue, and be able to put your own clients first by partnering with Smart Choice. Go to smartchoiceagents.com. Tell them the mayor sent you. You'll be glad you did. Also, my good friends over at Canopy Connect. More and more people are going to Canopy Connect, and they're hearing about it right here in Insurance Town. Keep spreading the word. Keep talking about it. They are your one-click solution to getting the deck pages you need to quote your prospects. They are unbelievable what they do, and they get loss runs now on commercial lines. I can't believe it. It's finally here. You've been asking for it. Now they provide it. Go to usecanopy.com/Heath. Get your demo. Get your discount. Just get in touch with them. They're amazing. I'm going to go ahead and hit my third so we can get into this, and I want to break it up. Let me tell you about one of my newest sponsors, someone who has really come in and made a big impact already. And you guys just love him. And so if you haven't signed up, you haven't called to check it out, go to oldschoolmarketing.com. That's O-L-D-E, schoolmarketing.com. They are doing some really cool stuff with an old school marketing effort, which is direct mail pieces. You haven't seen direct mail like this. They do handwritten notes. They do it in a drip method. They do it in a method that just keeps your phone ringing all the time. So make sure you check him out. He's a former insurance agency owner, and he used this method to grow his book to an unreal number and save his agency. And now he's doing it for you full-time, oldschoolmarketing.com. Make sure you go check them out. Tell them the mayor sent you, and you will get a nice little discount there too. So now let me jump out of the way here and let you hear my conversation with Andy Matheson. Andy Matheson, what's up, dog?
Oh, man. It's just good to see you. I know we had a couple different opportunities to try and meet here in Denver when you're in town for Vertifor, and we just don't get to do that. Like, we can't sync up schedules, so that's on me. That's my fault.
But we're going to make that happen, though, and we're gonna have a good time, man.
I owe you a couple Sprites.
Yeah, you do. I'm not going to lie. Like, I enjoy coming to Denver. The air feels different. Like, I don't know. I just kind of like it down there. Maybe because everybody's high as a kite, but it's also a lot of fun.
That would never be me.
No, right. Never. Of course not. But no, I dig it, man. I dig it. So what's been going on? Like, life treating you well?
I'll tell you what, man, it's been an outstanding like 90 days or so.
Dude.
Obviously, the big news, elephant in the room, is that I left Glovebox. Major news. Wasn't something that I ever – yeah. Wasn't something I ever thought was going to happen. So, you know, you start a journey. You kind of envision what that end game would look like. And that what occurred is not the end game I pictured. But, and this might be the perfect opportunity to let folks know kind of what went down and what happened. Like, I think that might make sense.
Yeah, bro.
I'll make it super brief, though. I went through a really tough divorce the past 24 or so months. And some know about this. Most don't. And I have two young kids at home. And 4 and 6 years old. One's in kindergarten, one's in preschool. My commute a lot to take them to school and such. Doing that and going through that wave, alongside being in a leadership role at a startup company inside the insurance industry, was tearing me apart. Like tug of war on both sides, and I'm in the middle taking it. It was rough, and it wasn't rough because of my ability to kind of keep up with my duties on each side. It was just tough to go through my day and like have to drop everything on each end and take care of business. So I decided in a very difficult manner to part ways with Glovebox because it was just wearing me down. So my brother and I had a couple heart-to-heart meetings, and we came to the conclusion that it just made sense. So zero animosity, zero issue with Glovebox. They were crushing it. I'm proud of what we accomplished. I mean, back in 2018, Ryan came up with the concept. He brought it to my attention. He thought it would be a great idea to consider that next move once we sold the agency in 2019, and we did just that. So if you think of a scratch piece of paper at a bar, we wrote down some ideas, literally how it happened. We threw in a couple bucks to try and get some get it going a little bit,
Yeah.
and then it became an idea like that was a real business, and then we started turning that, and then we sold the agency, and then we were in it. So long story short, proud of what we did. They're gonna keep taking that mission forward, and they're actually the product's as good as ever, and the industry's ripe for it. So I'm very happy now because I'm in a really good situation with my new company. I get to spend more time with my kids. It's very important to me, of course, like most family first, and they need me. And so, anyways, long story short, I am very happy, less stressed. That life is great. So hopefully that was
Dude,
a decent
so
summary.
yeah, man, and so just to get this out here on the recording for the people listening, you and Ryan don't hate each other. Sean and you are still besties.
Yep.
Glovebox is going well. There was
Yeah.
no craziness there. It was just I feel like it was one of these things of like the best thing for the company is for me to be able to step down right now because of personal situations, and that's just simply what it is. Not anything crazy.
Yeah.
Nothing, like that. It's just, I think it's cool as I've, kind of gotten to see a little bit of your journey. And I've actually been inside the agency that you
Oh yeah.
just blew up, and, went, that story. And I've heard it from, I've met some of your CSRs and some of the account managers there. Dude, like to see
Yeah.
that and then to see you start a company from scratch and see it blow up. And now to see what you're doing here, sky's the limit of what's going on and what can be. And to know the love that you have for our industry and love that you have for agents and their processes, I see you. I see
Yeah,
you.
man. Thank you so
It's
much.
cool, man.
Shoot, that means a lot. I'm passionate about this industry. My dad brought me into it. Gosh, when I was like 16 years old, he ran an independent agency back in 2001, which is the
Yeah,
agency
dude.
that you saw. And when I was 16 in the summer, I would do applications to try and get X states to come back into his pipeline. So I would go
Yeah.
call them and learn the script and get $20 an app. So that was how I got all kicked off. And then, just, watching it from afar and then joining it. And then, the rest is history.
Dude.
So, yeah.
Yeah, dude. I thought you and Ryan were the coolest in your family, but your dad's cool as hell. Like your
I
dad is
agree.
dope.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I agree, man. He's
And so yeah, dude,
amazing.
I think that's super cool. So you've already started your journey down memory lane. When we go through a little bit more of that, like tell me a little bit about your experience at the agency a little bit, and then we heard a little bit about the glove box, so we know some
Yeah.
of that, but then kind of lead me where you are now. Just, give me at least a minute and a half or two before we dive in.
No doubt. The agency was an interesting journey too, because when I was there, I wasn't brought in as an agent. I was brought in to market and lead generate and get people involved in, helping them create a marketing plan that's sustainable long term, where you can turn on the faucet, turn it off, and just know that those leads are going to come in when you need them to. That evolved into kind of the sales aspect, getting behind the computers, understanding the quote process, understanding the sales
Yeah.
process, and then eventually the management style where I was helping co-manage a team of 22 at the time, producers. And so I was helping them in their day-to-day. And then in the it ended up the last year or so kind of a business development role where I was actually we were nationwide, or at least most of the country, establishing regions where we would get territory managers, and they would recruit agents, and we got up to like 150 agents at one point.
Wow.
So that's how we left things at the agency. So I got a nice experience of kind of every realm of the agency, whether it would be kind of understanding the service aspect, sales, lead generation, marketing, operations. So it was a really well-versed journey at the agency. And of course, diving into Glovebox was a whole other side of the table. So,
Yeah,
but yeah,
man.
it's been a wild journey so far.
Yeah, dude, it sounds like it. And I would love to know, like, okay, so from there, and you mentioned you went somewhere different. What, where are you at now? We'll go ahead and where you're at somewhere new as of the first of the
At
year.
First Choice, which is a Marshberry company. So Marshberry being the lead market leader in kind of the advisory side of the house for independent agencies, consulting them on how to kind of squeeze the value out of their agency and prepare for an inevitable sale or perpetuation, or getting them ready kind of as they go along. And then the arm of kind of the aggregation side would be Choice. So I'm on the First Choice team.
That's cool. So what's that? Okay, so going from family run businesses, both at agency and at Glovebox, now to working for a huge, massive corporation now. What's that been like for you?
Man, it's wild. Like you said, basically startup companies versus a corporate side of the house, vastly different experience. I mean, over here you have HR in your calendar setting up meetings for you for certain things, and these corporate meetings, and but it's been a breath of fresh air. Like, things are structured, and again, not that they weren't at the other companies, but it
Sure.
was your responsibility versus like coming into it and letting that happen for you. And just very structured, put together, very directional. Like, it was aligned for me when I walked in versus like, oh, you better go create all that stuff on your own. So wild, wild differences, but I am enjoying it. It's been kind of I'm at peace right now, but I get to go do what I enjoy, and I get to talk to agencies and have fun with them and dig into their operations and help them.
What does that look like for you? What do you enjoy working with agents on?
I mean, I think most agency owners, whether they're small or mid-sized, were just producers that ended up being business owners, and now they are like kind of looking around and saying, okay, I've got all these different silos I've got to manage and be good at. Reality is they're not good at everything, and that's fair. No one
Yeah.
is. No one is. So being able to lean on the resources that you need to be good at what you need to get done for your firm is something that I think is what I can come in and help with because of that experience in the different roles at the agency, obviously the insurtech side of the house, and talking to thousands of agencies about how they operate. Overlaps or gaps that they have in their process. And so I've kind of taken all those puzzle pieces and put that together, and in my head at least put to kind of this concept of what an agency should look like for different regions and different niches and appetites and all that good stuff. So I think it's just diving in, knowing that they're not experts at everything, but they are experts at some things, and so I can learn from them, they can learn from me, and this kind of it's a I'm a silent partner now, and that's what I like being.
Dude,
So it's pretty cool.
that's really cool. And you've been successful at that level. And if they know that journey and they know that story, I got to hear the privilege of hearing you tell your story, twice, at PIA Arkansas and at Jason Katz's event, of how you and Sean and Ryan grew your dad's agency in such a massive way. And so are you still teaching some of those kind of, or talking about some of those concepts?
I'm diving more into the operational stuff.
Yeah.
Not that the lead gen side, the marketing side of the house isn't vital to success. It certainly is. That's typically more on the producer level. I'm working with agency owners, C-suites, helping them build out their firm versus specifically down to the producer at this point. So that's kind of been the evolution of my career, going from the producer to the C-suite and kind of working with that leadership side of the house.
I've got, listeners that go from, startup, one or two people in the agency, all the way up to some of those enterprise level agencies that listen to the show. And so if we just go smack down in the middle there, and we just talk to agency owners right now that we're in the hardest market we've ever seen ever. I've been in this business 22 years now. And then as you said earlier, your dad, I'm second generation as well. And talking to him, he's 80, still slinging insurance. I talked to him about it. He's like, I've never seen anything like this in my life. And so when you're talking to agency owners, and I'm going to give you the floor for a minute right now, as we're talking to agency owners, you know, what are you seeing as far as, you know, what's working out there? What mistakes are agencies making? How to navigate through some of this?
Use the perfect verbiage. I always ask them, how are you navigating through these hard times? Obviously, the challenges are forcing agencies to either pivot, get more specific about the appetite they're looking for, changing their lead generation style to get different kinds of leads in the door. We were at my agency 99% personal lines. Today, that's probably not going to work very well. You probably should start to, you know, break that out to a little bit more of an 80-20, a 70-30, 60-40. Like you just kind of have to get down to diversification to ensure this the longevity and sustainability of your agency or your firm. And so what I'm learning when I'm having these conversations is that they are making some pivots. They are having to waver, and that's okay. Whether it's hiring new people that have different mentality to kind of fit the gaps that they have with this like breakdown between personal lines and commercial lines, that's one thing that they can do. The other would be how they're getting more out of their current client base. We have a lot of upset customers about their rates. Everyone's feeling it. Are you educating your people on why it's happening? And what they're going to look, what they can expect in the next 24 months. Yeah, we can always kind of look ahead and see what this is going to do. I think it's going to soften. I think we're starting to see indications that it's going to soften. So if you educate your people, your clients, your client base on what to expect, you should be able to get through this, you know, this window of time, this craziness that we're experiencing. So whether it's on an operational level or a client relationship level, a lead generation strategy, how you're hiring and training your people, there's tons of ways you can pursue this, but you got to do something. You can't just stay still. You can't stay still. The other piece would be technology. Are you bringing in the right pieces of tech, trying it for a good amount of time to understand what it can do for you? Don't just 1 or 2 months of trying something out and throwing it against the wall and seeing if it sticks. Like actually see it through and understand what it's going to do for you. And by the way, if you haven't evolved on a technology basis, have to have to start having those conversations. It's becoming vital. So there was about four or five different things I described there, but you know, it's time. You got to look at yourself in the mirror. So something's got to tweak.
I get the privilege of talking with a lot of agency owners, especially here on the podcast. And had a conversation, you know, actually the last four or five of my conversations have all come down to something you just mentioned, and that's, you know, training your staff and helping them to be at the level to educate their customers, you know, to understand what is going on in this market and how to navigate through that. And so it sounds like you are in that same boat of like, you've got to maybe start with the inside of the agency and kind of talk to them about, okay, listen. You know, you're probably feeling this. You're probably getting screamed at. You're probably getting asked to shop a million times. You're probably getting upset customers. Here's why. Here's what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, being able to handle these sort of conversations is probably the most difficult thing that a agency is going through right now, if I had to guess. I mean, I'm not in those seats, but I'm hearing through it. And if they can ease the pain in some sort of it's a relationship business. I mean, that's a cliche thing. Whether
You're
you're
right,
talking,
though.
if it's B2B, that's also on the t but we're talking B2C in this, you know, particular topic, it's still relational. And so if you can ease that tension and ease the pain in some form or fashion, getting people comfortable that your agency is better suited for this person versus going to, you know, the captive side or going to the internet side is going to make that person, that client, that insured realize that the grass isn't greener. It's okay. Everyone's going through it. Like, sorry, that sucks. You're paying more. But at the end of the day, it's this is the waves that we're riding. We're all in it together. So yeah, training your staff to do it the right way, to handle these conversations properly. But one thing that I think is happening too, and it's kind of going back to about 60 seconds ago when I stated you got to have some sort of a maneuver right now, is understanding last year's growth, because a lot of agencies are asking, did you grow last year? And most of them say, yeah, like we were at one of our best years. And why is that? Well, because premiums went up. So is that true growth? Or is that, you know, is that all just false hope? Like it looks good on paper. Your premium went up. Did your revenue actually go up? There's a difference, of course. So understanding like the reality versus just what the numbers are spitting out on paper. Did you really grow? And do you really, because like some people will see those premium increases and think that they are doing great. But then after the end of this year, it could not, like, it may not be even close to that same sustainability, if that makes sense. So you got to understand your organic growth in terms of revenue, and then make your changes, your necessary changes. So, like, just don't always assume that you grew just because premium went up.
I've talked to several agencies at events I've been to and things I've gotten to do. And a lot of them have told me, you know, we've transitioned to a place where we don't even have an emphasis right now on new business. We're just doing everything we can to close the back door, keep everything we can in-house. And obviously, you know, you're going to grow about 15, 20, maybe even 30% just because of the rate increase.
Yeah.
And some of them are saying, you know, because we're not paying that higher commission to the new business for producers, you know, by keeping that back door closed, we are growing. But again, like you said, it could be, you know, it could not be true revenue growth. It could just be premium growth. And so it's interesting the way that people are strategizing. And just a lot of different things go on. It's an interesting time to be in the insurance marketplace or any industry for that matter.
And going back to that part where you're training your staff to have these conversations with clients and educating them, within that conversation, it's understanding, okay, who, what do we insure right now? And how can we get more, how can we become closer, you know, relationally to help you set up your household better? Whether that's, I'm a personal lines mindset, so I got to get out of that. But I'm thinking, okay, houses, cars, all the stuff, the teenage drivers. But if you can kind of shift that pain that they're feeling over to the reality that we're just trying to protect you and let's get more out of that, I think that helps the conversation too. So, like,
100%.
we're talking cross-selling, of course. But that, you
Yeah.
know, let's retain our people, let's cross-sell, let's get more out of our current clients. So that helps.
And talking to agents from that perspective, the tech stack conversation is an interesting one to see where people go on that. And obviously, my mindset has changed and shifted to, you know, you start with the AMS, you start with the CRM, and then kind of build out from there to hook up with, you know, maybe an agency app with Glovebox. Maybe you pull in, you know, WonderWrite for this, or you pull in this technology for that, or you bring in this to help your VAs or whatever it might be. And so I'm interested to hear if we have the general understanding of you start with your nucleus of your CRM, your AMS, things of that nature. Where would you tell people maybe to go? Where would you start with your technology?
You know, I think the client experience, regardless of app, is important today because of the expectations of the end user. So, like, what is that experience front to back if I'm a client of your agency? When I call in, is it easy? Do I have to go through a phone tree, or is it I get to a person that get me in the right place? Is it the website? What does it look like? How does it work? How can I get in and use it functionally? Again, as a current client, what does the quote process look like? Is it simple or is it a pain in the ass? Is it, am I on the phone with you for 45 minutes? Or is it, you know, I give you preliminary information digitally and then we have a firm conversation after that? I think these, if you turn the table and you're looking at things from a client's perspective inside, like staring at your agency, what does that look like? Where are you missing some opportunities? And then on service, how can I quickly and easily let you know that I need a change or an update or a tweak or an upgrade? You know, there's all these.
That may be where Glovebox can come in for you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
Of
biased. I'm biased. I'll
course
always
you
be
are.
biased. I'll always be biased. I just think that we've always, as an industry, missed that. That's been a missing piece. And I don't know why. We always focus internally at our own people and our own systems, and that's obviously important. But, you know, this client base needs to have a good experience just like your staff. So what's more important? I think this today, right now, external facing stuff, what's that, you know, front to back look like? If I'm staring at your agency, how does that work? You know, just I don't think agencies do that. They're just simply seeing inside of their doors and how can we enhance things internally, which is totally fair, but let's talk about the other stuff. So I
Yeah, I
think that should be
mean,
looked at.
Stacy and I came up with this, you know, in our own insurance. And that's one of the things I talk to agents about all the time is when you're talking to your clients, let them know you had your own increases. You're dealing with this yourself, you know, you're a consumer as well, not just a producer or CSR. But even me, like, you know, Stacy and I had this conversation, like, we took a rate increase the last couple of years. And, but it was like, why shop? Why leave the agent that we know and love and we love doing business with? He makes it easy. He's going to answer the phone. He's going to take care of me. I know the staff. You know, I'm one of these cheers kind of guy. I want to walk in the bar. You know my name. You know what I want to order. You know what I like. when I call and they see me on caller ID, they know they can mess with me and they know we can, you know, we can have a conversation. I know the tech they use. So, I mean, it's created brand loyalty for me. And so I'm thinking, you know, I know I'm odd, but I'm not too far off from your client base, probably those that are listening right now. If you can make it to where you built the relationship, you've made it easy to do business. You've made it to where, why would I leave XYZ agency? I love them. You know, they're part of my family. And I think the ones that leave are leaving because they're not happy. They haven't been serviced right. They haven't built the relationship.
When I think 9 out of 10 clients only think price. But if you can get them to come back to the reality of experience, then you're probably saving a client. So if that hard conversation, your staff's learning how to handle these tough conversations, price, price, price. Let's come away from the price for a minute. How have you enjoyed working with my agency? Has that been a good experience? Oh, it's not been a good experience. Why is that? Okay, I'm learning from my client base. I'm making those adjustments.
Yeah.
And you're saving your firm long-term from having these conversations. So let's pull people away from price as much as possible. I know it's important. Let's come back. So let's walk back on this.
Yeah.
So I think you can learn a lot from having these tough conversations too.
No, I completely agree. Okay. So one of the things that I've heard you say a couple of times, this is a random question, but you know, I have a squirrel brain, but you've said interchange two words I love hearing. You said agency and you said firm. Is firm something you hear in larger agencies? Is firm just something you like to use? Because you typically hear that with law firms. I love it in relation to an agency. I think that's cool. Where are you? Is that just a Andy thing or what?
I can't even lie to you. I've learned that in the past 90 days. Now, obviously, like the term, I've never really used the term until I came into Marsh Berry in that ecosystem. Because Marsh Berry is great with working with firms that are mid to larger size. And because I've started to use that own verbiage, it's allowing me to kind of turn around and talk to agencies differently and make them feel even more, I don't know, bigger than they are or more, you know, it helps people feel good about what they've done and what they've created and what they've built, regardless of size. Because at the end of the day, it's their baby. And I think if you can treat them with that, hey, like, look at what you've done. Look at what you've created. I want you to feel good about this. Now, how can we maximize it? So I've been using that terminology. It's Marsh Berry ecosystem verbiage. And I kind of love it. So,
dude, and I think it also makes it feel like it's almost got a bougie feel. It's almost got a more professional vibe to it.
Totally.
And I kind of dig
it. Buttoned up already, right? But I, you know, I'm a sweatpants guy. But if you can use this kind of verbiage, like everything's Zoom and phone right now, like less face-to-face, which I don't love. But regardless, like get people to realize that you're respecting what they've done and you're making them like, let's make sure we understand what you've done here and let's get the most out of it. So,
well, that's the other thing, you know, as you've brought this up and you've talked about it and I hear the word firm, one of the fascinating things I'd love to get into with you a little bit is, and again, I'm going to say this with a little bit of a caveat here. Like people listen to the show and are loyal listeners to the show. And I love that. Smart Choice is obviously a sponsor of my show and I'm a huge fan and I love Smart Choice. And I love the agencies they work with and I will always bang that drum. However, to hear you say firm and to hear you say larger agencies that work with First Choice, that to me is interesting because typically when people think aggregators, networks or whatnot, they might think of smaller agencies. They might think of the mom and pop, 1-2 man startups or the smaller agencies or midsize. But you're saying that you're seeing larger firms reaching out to networks. And that, first of all, my first question on that would be, do you think that's more indicative?
No, you're making me question. Indicative. There you go.
Indicative of a hard market or indicative of where we're at in this?
Sorry. A 30,000 foot view, like looking down at the industry. You know, every agency's got to have some aspirations into what that journey's going to, what's the end game? You know, how is that going to look? So if you look at small shops, they're probably only thinking right now or in the next 5 years or so. And that's what we call like commission clubs.
Yeah.
They might want to join a commission club to get that agency's, you know, put some fuel under the fire. But if we're looking at mid-size to larger agencies who have been through that first wave of their agency, and now they're looking at, okay, how am I, like, what does the next 10 years look like? How am I either perpetuating this agency or selling this agency in the next 10 years or so? So when I'm looking at the industry from the top, I'm picking like wisely which ones make sense to like have that vision and understand what that journey is going to end like going to finish or how it's going to end. And so if I'm, talking to them differently from that perspective, not just simply commission club types of conversations, then we're having these conversations like, okay, I'm an advisor. I'm going to advise on, financial advisory, growth advisory, market intelligence, like benchmark. Just like you. Peer-to-peer groups that are like having real hard conversations about things that are happening at your agency. So those are the kind of separate topics that you don't typically hear from in commission clubs. And I'm going to keep using that term because it's like, oh, you're fo only focused on commission enhancements. That's fine. Market access, that's fine. That's all kind of table stakes. What else are you getting? So at First Choice, we do work with everyone from scratch to 500 in premium or 50 million in revenue. But the what we're seeking is growth minded, great positive attitudes about their aspirations and goals, and understanding what more than just commission clubs are doing in general.
Do you feel like you've seen an uptick due to the current market we're in and the atmosphere that we're in, the environment that we're in?
So there's a stat. Supposedly 60% of insurance, 60% of independent agencies are a part of some sort of group, some sort of network. That was interesting when I found that out.
Yeah.
I thought it would be far less. Of those 60%, about 2.5 in revenue, 2.5 million in revenue. So we're seeing that even the mid-size and larger ones are wanting to participate in this because of that extracurricular stuff, that ancillary stuff I was talking about. Not just the table stakes. So, kind of back to your original question, because of the hard market, should you be thinking about more than what's on the table just for every network?
Yeah.
Probably. Okay. Most people are having a hard time getting appointments. Market access is challenging for everyone. It's not just specific to any individual or agency. And so, what are you doing to enhance your operations now for long-term success? And so, yeah, I think more people are joining than ever before, and every size agency.
Yeah. You know, I feel like, and again, I've got a relationship with, several networks that goes back to my early days. Early on, it felt like people looked at joining an aggregator or a network as a sign of weakness. Or if I have to join a network, then, it's because I couldn't get markets on my own, or because I couldn't make it on my own, or because of whatever negative connotation. And I feel like through the years, it's become more about, as you call it, table stakes. It's become more about just gaining access to markets. It's become more about more than just getting a contingency check. Now, you guys, like agency networks like First Choice, like Smart Choice, like some of these others, are providing more value than just the table stakes. I love that you brought up table stakes because I'm a poker guy myself, but I love that. And so,
So, when you're an agency and you're looking to join any network, you need to remember that you are independent. You're an independent agency for a reason. You should be autonomous. You should be able to control, obviously everything involved with your agency. You should not have to give up commissions opinion. You should be seeking out what are the core benefits of a network? Bulk in numbers, you're kind of working with other your peers to get better opportunities all over the place. And that's not just financially. We're talking vendors, we're talking education, we're talking the masses, right? When you're considering all those things, now it comes down to, well, can I come in and out as I please? Because again, I am independent for a reason. I'm not captive. So how am I going to handle like the next 12 to 24 months with this group, with this particular group? When I'm talking to agencies, it is like organic growth. Let's start there. How do you want to specifically focus on organic growth? Is it through aggregation? Is it through mergers and acquisitions? Is it through, that we talked about the conversation with your current client base and getting more cross sells and more upsells with them? Is it on the leadership front? Like, what are you doing as leaders to develop and to turn around and develop your people? Is it sales and talent solutions? Is it like, hey, I'm training my producers this type of way, or am I I'm going to pivot and train them that type of way? My CSRs and am I recruiting a certain way? So there's about 20 different things you can cover, but I feel like with my particular role now, it really is just an assessment, the discovery of what they do well now and what are the gaps and overlaps, and then kind of go from there. So,
you know, I'm going to steal so many things from you after this, not only because you're the coolest guy I know, but because there's been some cool terminology brought up, because, and I like the way you phrase that, because it puts it into perspective. I think about it, it's more than table stakes. It's more than, you know, what you've typically thought about. And it's no longer seen as I join an aggregator as a weakness. It's more of I'm trying to make my agency better. I'm empowering my agency. It's almost like having a secret weapon.
It's silent partner for a reason. Like, these conversations happen behind closed doors. Let's help you get better and realize you've, like, first of all, learn about yourself, learn about your agency.
Yeah.
You know, understand that you got to at some point, like, realize the differences between what you were and what you want to be. And so what's in the middle? Like, you actually have to go take action on this stuff. So we're going to help you do that. Whether it's my group or any other group, that's what you should be looking for. Is this group I'm joining going to help get the most out of my firm?
Now, tell me, first choice, is this, you know, from, I mean, is this from East Coast, West Coast, or is there a certain particular region?
Really good question.
Where you got that?
So First Choice was established by a nationwide agent who originally wanted to just kind of, you know, get other agencies together and get more like niche access with certain companies. It grew over time. It evolved. And that all took place in the East Coast. So 90%+ of our membership at First Choice is East Coast based. Most people in the Midwest and West Coast don't really know much about First Choice. So I'm here in Denver. There's only a couple of us here on the west of the Mississippi, but we're spreading that footprint out this direction. And it's because of just, you know, kind of the masses out east. But as we spread out west here, I think you're kind of going to see more opportunities with regards to how we educate and how we, you know, again, market intelligence, a big one, like what's going on in the market, not just the East Coast, but like what's going on in the market across the globe, or excuse me, across the country, that we can help all agencies of any type learn more about themselves. So we're going to enhance the way we operate based on the agencies we're bringing in from the Midwest and the West Coast. And that's kind of what I'm seeing right now.
Awesome. I'm glad that, because I've got, again, audience from all over the country. So if someone may be thinking about it, or maybe have heard some of the things you've said, like, hey, you know, I'd like to learn more, you know, but then also to have that conversation. Because again, while I'm talking to you here at First Choice, and obviously, you know, one of my sponsors is Smart Choice, interesting enough, Choice. But not every aggregator, not every network fits every agency. And so, you know, some of the things that people might think about networks, whether it's, you know, I'm handcuffed to them for this, or they're going to take commission from me on that, or I've got to do this. What, like, some of those myth busters out there, what are some of those things right now? Give you a few minutes here. Like, what are some things you can tell them that, you know, maybe to make them think about in a different light, a network or a aggregator or working with someone like that?
I mean, you're typically going to get more bang for your buck when you're working with others versus just individually, typically. Like, you know, when you're working on a group project of any sort, like, you're going to get more when you're working with others than you are by yourself. Like, that's just kind of the name of the game. So there's no difference here. You're an independent agency, but you work with a silent partner. You lean on them where you need to, but you have the autonomy to do what you need to as well. Like, no one should be coming in and looking for equity or trying to buy you or taking your commissions or, you know, there's a lot of things I could say on the financial side. That should be clear and obvious. It's just about everything else. Like, why wouldn't you consider working with experts that you're not good at? Like I said in the beginning, I'm not an expert in everything at all. I know what I'm good at. I know what I'm not good at. I may as well lean on the right people to get good at those other things. And I'm probably never going to be good at all that other stuff, but at least I know where to go to get that advice. And so advisory is a big thing here. Like, is your group advising you the right way, or is it simply just a check in the mail? Like, are you just getting a check? Because I'm, you know, there's a lot of those. I would just say, consider when you're looking around, what are you getting more than just the money side?
after you get signed up with a network, you know, First Choice for that matter, does that advisory, you know, piece go beyond just getting them in the door?
We're regional leaders, so we work with our members in the region.
Yeah.
And that's nice because I'm always in your back pocket, like when and if you're ready. But having a plan, like a strategic plan. So like you learned about my group, you liked it enough to come join. Okay, now what's your plan with us? What are you looking to accomplish? Is it that benchmarking tool? Is it that financial advisory tool?
Yeah.
Where we look at your financials and say, how do you compare to agencies just like you? What is your growth channel look like for the next 5 years? So there's so much that is involved with being a part of the group that most people probably don't even think about. So I like to have the strategic plan. What are you looking to get out of it? Is it just money related? Because if so, that's great, but we're going to talk about this other stuff. So I think it's just challenging the agency that's joining the group to think bigger and know that there's a lot more on the table than simply just a check in the mail. So
awesome. If someone listening wanted to reach out to you or reach out to First Choice or to find more information, could you give a little bit of...
I'm a LinkedIn guy. I know a lot of people are bothered by LinkedIn DMs, and that's fair. I think they've actually improved on that in the past couple months. I'm not getting as much spam. I don't know if you are. I don't know if others are noticing that. I'm really not getting as much DM spam anymore in LinkedIn, but just being active on there, obviously looking up just Andy Matheson, finding me on there, connecting with me and searching and sending a DM. I like voice messages on LinkedIn as well. So if you go pull up the app on your phone, and you click on the person you want to message, you can just click the message button and then a record button. And it's actually an audio message instead of just typing one out. That's a little bit more personal as far as that personal touch. So try that with me. You know, my email is pretty simple. It's andy.matheson@marshberry.com. But then you can also call Heath and he'll take care of my phone calls for me and vet them.
There you go. You know I will. You know I will. Okay. So now to one of my most important questions that I have for you. Can Denver go back-to-back in Nuggets? Can they go back-to-back?
So I went to Game 5 of the NBA Finals last year, Denver Nuggets versus Miami Heat. We won that game, won the NBA championship. It was one of the top three moments in my life. Like, I'm a massive sports fan, specifically football and basketball, and I'm a big pro guy. I love college, but I just think pros are just the most incredible talent, like, just
100%.
In any sport. So back to your original question, I think Jokic is so underappreciated, and so I think 100%. he's not flashy, so it's not fun to turn on the TV and just like, oh, he's just not doing this swaggy stuff. Like, he's just like, but this man is absolutely incredible. Like, he's, you know, Wilt Chamberlain, he's, Magic Johnson. He's, name some other names here. He's kind of a mixed bag. He's the Joker. Like, he's very, and not only him, but then you have Jamal Murray, that pick and roll game. And then you have, Aaron Gordon on the backside, like for the lobs and the cleaning up all the dirt. MPJ from the 3-point line, Caldwell Pope. Like, this group is freaking impressive, and it's just I'm okay with the concept of it going back to back. If you are you okay with that?
Yeah, I'm a Nuggets fan. I mean, I'm a Nuggets
fan.
People
don't like small or mid market teams to be successful because it's not as fun, but.
Yeah, so my number one team is the Grizzlies, so I'm a small market guy, but Nuggets are definitely my number two team. And I got to go to a game, I think, with you not too long ago.
I think it was Grizzlies.
Yeah, had a ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously I'm a Joker guy because he's got the dad bod. And so I can relate and love it.
Jump 2 feet. Yeah.
So, okay, that being said, is there any hope for your Broncos anytime soon?
Dude, interesting question. So the quarterback situation is very interesting. Like, I think we're going to draft one in the top. We're pick number 12.
First, you got a good shot there.
Will go. You'll have Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jalen Daniels probably in the top five, give or take, unless something weird happens. So what you'll have remaining would be JJ McCarthy, Bo Nix. What's another name out there?
I think Bo Nix is a great option there.
Yeah. I mean, McCarthy's interesting too. He's a winner. He's He's proven
Yeah.
he's younger, so he doesn't have a ton of experience. So yeah, I'm so get the quarterback and then let's the rest take care of itself.
So was okay. So I got a question. I'm gonna see if you answer this correctly. I want to see if your answer is similar to mine, or what I think. Who's the face of Colorado sports right now, in general, like the state?
Yeah, it's Joker.
You
It's
think
Joker.
so? It's
Yeah.
not Coach Prime?
Ooh, interesting. Well, the problem is you have like three schools here, Air Force and Colorado State. So it's
I
not,
know, but
but
you
he's
hear Coach
obviously.
Prime everywhere. Like when I think
Yeah.
anything Colorado related or sports related, Prime is everywhere.
But
Dion's everywhere, bro.
you're not wrong. I think nationally that makes sense. Locally, it doesn't because pro sports are more important than college sports here in town, to be
Yeah.
honest. And I know in some states that's not, it's the reverse.
Yeah.
But here it's all about pro sports. The Broncos are definitely the show. And
Even
then
if you're
whatever.
not a Colorado fan, I mean, can you respect what he's doing?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a Jayhawk, and they're coming into the Big 12 this year. Colorado is.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting. So I'm pumped to see that. But of course, I mean, the game needed this, by the way. Like,
Dude,
college
100%.
football needs this. It's going
Yeah.
to be interesting. So, but now the real question is, can Colorado at least have a winning season this year? Because they were what? They won four games maybe last year.
Yeah.
Now
Oof.
I'm not. I don't. I think they recruited well. I think that transfer portal was an interesting topic.
Yeah.
That's a whole another hour-long conversation about NIL
Right.
money and how that whole thing has been
Right.
going. I think that's it's a little it's off right now. Like the small mid-market schools can't do much. Like you're not
Yeah.
going to compete. You're getting the three-tier guys.
I hear you.
You were
Well,
anyways, but like it's just different. You can't keep.
yeah. I had to have the sports conversation with you. We hadn't caught up in a while. So, goes those that stuck with us on this. I appreciate you hanging out
Yeah, right.
in Colorado Sports Town. But now we're gonna sign off here. I appreciate you coming, hanging out. I'll be coming. I'm in Denver every quarter. So one of these times we're gonna actually get together and enjoy that Sprite.
There we go. We should have a little round table with some local agencies just to kind of chat about the stuff that we talked about today.
Let's do it.
I would love to.
Totally in. So
All right. Nice.
good to see you. Good talking
Thanks,
with
man.
you. Glad to hear things are well. Hug the kids and slap Ryan on the ass for me, and we'll talk soon.
I love it. Thanks, man. You're the
Love you,
best.
brother. Have a
Appreciate
good
you.
one.
Love you too.